I'm just going to believe for the prayers that have already gone forth. Uh-huh. I don't have to pray. We can just go into it.
Amen.
Amen. There was a situation that happened to me. I was at work, and we just hired a new guy. And he's been with us for 2 weeks, roughly. And last week was a really strange week. I started getting phone calls that the guy, I don't care, I'll use names. The guy's name is Nathan. And I started getting calls from my coworkers about how they were done with Nathan. And they were no longer going to help him at all. Then I get another call. Eric, your boy, I'm done with him. I don't want him in my office. I don't want him around me. I am afraid to be near him. And I got another phone call. Eric, I was taking Nathan out to train him. But since he already knows everything, he said that he knew my job that I've been doing for the past 20 some odd years. I'm never going out with him again. I'm not teaching him anything else. I don't want him in the golf cart going around campus with me at all. We're done. I get another call. Eric, I am not going to sign off to renew Nathan's contract. And in fact, if Virginia State University wants to keep Nathan, I will be looking for new employment.
Wow.
Wow. This had all happened in the span of about a week and a half. And I did the wrong thing.
Okay.
The damage, so the people that Nathan angered to the point where they didn't want to help him anymore, they didn't want to talk to him, they didn't want to see him, he angered some pretty important people. Basically, if you can't get along with the people that he angered and they're no longer willing to help you, it's really no point in you coming to work. Because as a team, we all need one another. There are certain things that this coworker can do that no one else can do. And certain things that this coworker knows that no one else knows. And if you don't have their cooperation and support, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I'm 99% sure you will not be successful where I work at. And so back to me doing the wrong thing. I was so caught up in the fact that how unbelievable this was, how I didn't understand how all these things could transpire. Like, how do you make that many people angry and you just got here? So I called my dad. I was like, Dad, told him everything that had happened. And he was with me. Oh, man, I can't believe that. That's crazy. Like, I throw my hands up on this one. And I said, Dad, and here's a mistake I made. I said, Dad, I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive that the damage that was done is irreparable. I don't know what to do. He did it to himself. I got nothing. And I said probably that it was irreparable maybe a good 10 times that day to different people that I spoke to. Everybody I talked to, it's irreparable. It's irreparable. Nothing can be done. And so Nathan came to me later on, because when the bosses started calling him, then he had to go in this office and talk to this boss. Then he was on the phone with that boss. Nathan came off those phone calls with a change of heart. He said, "Eric, I don't know if I've done anything to you, but if I have, please tell me. I have no idea what I did, apparently," and I'm acting like I don't know the whole story. He says, "Eric, apparently I've offended a lot of people around here, and I have no idea. I don't know if it's just gossip. I don't know if it's true. I don't know. I have no idea what I did." But he said, "Man, if I've done anything to you, man, I'm sorry. Like, please help me to do better. I didn't intend to be in this situation. He was like, "Man, I just got this job. Like, I don't want to lose my job. I have a, you know, wife, and I just don't know how I got here." And I saw it felt like it was sincere. I mean, just as a man, I need my job too. I don't want to lose my job. But he looked like he was definitely sorry about what had transpired. And then that God was like, "Eric, you can do something about this." And I don't know why it took so long. I guess I was just caught up in how unbelievable it was. I was so in a hurry to pass the story along. I didn't think about what God may be doing in this situation. So, long story short, I talked to the four or five people that were done with him. And they are now willing to get past it, move forward, and offer their support to him again. The title for today, and you can see it up there, I know you're all familiar with irreconcilable differences. The title today is Reconcilable Differences. And that whole thing, and yeah, I was glad that I could help. That's that. But God impressed upon my heart what is at stake when there is no mediator. In the natural, and in this case, it was a man's job. He could have lost the job. You lose the job. You lose your home, you lose your car, it could bring problems in your marriage or whatever the case may be. There was a lot at stake. Mediation was necessary.
Come on now.
Have you ever been given a gift that you didn't ask for? You never said you needed it. You never said you wanted it. But once you got it and actually started using it, whatever that gift was, you realize, like, how did I ever survive without this gift? You ever get a gift you never thought that you needed until you got it? God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us a gift that we never even knew we needed. But now we know that we can't live without it. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And that's the key verse. I'm going to paraphrase 3 and 4, and then I'll actually read verse 5. Verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth." When God says something is good and acceptable, I figure the best course of action for us is to probably go along with that. Let's not go off script. If that's God's plan, if that's what he wants to do, it's best that we all get on board. But if God wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, he has to do something. And in verse 5, he's going to tell us exactly what the plan is. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's a reason that mediation is necessary. God had a plan from the beginning. And the first phase of his plan, as we all know, back in the Garden of Eden, things went awry. The contract that he had made with man had been broken through disobedience. And whenever that contract, whenever any contract is broken, there is separation because of it. Why? Because we are no longer on the same page. We no longer agree with the terms of the deal. When man got off track, essentially the contract was voided and scrapped, and separation arose because of it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And this was talked about quite a bit earlier, but God in his infinite wisdom, our disobedience did not take God by surprise. Our disobedience didn't catch God off guard to where he didn't have another plan of action, to where he had to abort the original plan. God never aborted the original plan. It's just that the original plan had phases and implications that we didn't even know that we would need, but God knew. It says, verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God said, this can't be life. Y'all are not always going to make me hot. You're not going to always upset me. There's not always going to be this contention between God and man. I'm not doing it. Time up. It's time to implement another phase of this whole plan. What God had to do. See, there's an issue, and this contention between God and man at this point. The reason is because the scripture says God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I know that I'm probably the only one in here that has had relationships that were not perfect. I look at all of y'all and you look happy and you're glowing. But whenever there are two parties in a relationship that are so far apart, couples will often enter into mediation. There has to be a middleman. And when you're looking at how far the divide is from God's ways and our ways, if there's no mediation, how could there not be contention? How could there not be strife? How could there not be arguments? How can there not be misunderstandings? But God in his infinite wisdom knew what it would take to mediate the circumstances. And the scripture says the man Christ Jesus. What would make him so perfect? There were other people in the Bible. There was John the Baptist and Noah and this one and that one. The, great men and women of faith that we read about and admire and pattern our lives after? What would make Jesus so perfect? Scripture tells us what made Jesus so perfect. And you can dig it up for yourself, but it says that he was perfect, number one, because he was all God. Second reason he was perfect, because he was all man. Who better to mediate between God and man than someone who was both of them? Who better to go to God and to intercede on your behalf and say, God, he's trying. She's going to come around. Oh, don't give up on this one yet. Oh, God, don't give up on this one yet. But then at the same time, who better to come to you and say, look, there's a standard. Our God is a holy God. And yes, you have been extended significant grace and mercy, but that is not to be taken advantage of. He has the power to save, to deliver, to heal. Yes, I can speak on God's behalf because I don't consider it robbery to call myself equal to God, because I am. But I'm full acquainted with the struggles that men and women go through as well. So who better to mediate than the man Christ Jesus? Since we got the gift that we never knew that we needed, but now value so much, God never does anything for no reason. In his infinite wisdom, he says, okay, I've got the perfect mediator so that I can repair this broken marriage between me and you. Is it just for salvation? Is it just for eternal life? No, there are plenty of reasons that we need this. We need this mediation. And one reason is because God is so, again, his thoughts are so far beyond what we can think of. I'll give you an example. Have you ever offended someone? Terribly offended someone? And not even know you did it. Like when the person comes to you and they're angry and they're upset and you're like, why are you upset? And they tell you what you did and you're like, what? I don't recall doing that. But obviously I've upset you in some way. God knew that there had to be mediation because as good as you think you are and as good intentioned as you think you are, I dare to say every minute of your life, you will upset God. You will do something that doesn't align with the character that he is. I don't care if it's a thought about dessert. I don't care if you get mad at something else. I don't care if a bad thought comes to your head. God knew that if I don't fix this, if I don't get some kind of mediation, I'm not going to always strive with man. You're going to perpetually upset God. You're going to perpetually let him down. And it's not that you intend to. You can't help it because you ain't God. You can't help it. You can't be on his level. You can't think like he thinks. You can't do what he does. You can't act like he acts. But to an extent, you're limited. So you're going to keep letting him down. But the scripture, there's good news. The scripture said, I don't want anybody to perish. As powerful and omnipotent, as omnipresent as God is, he says, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want this marriage to end. Yeah, I took a break. You ever need a break from your relationship? God looked down. It said he looked at how evil things had gotten. He said, man is starting to populate upon the face of the earth. And God is looking down like, man, it's saying this can't be life. Like, it's not getting any better. They are perpetually upsetting me. I'm looking down and I see what's going on here. There's evil over here. They making up They're just making up things to do that are evil. Let's just experiment with new evil. And God is like, oh, man. Okay, Noah. That's all I got. Noah and his family. Everybody else, I need a break. And oftentimes when God says, when he takes a break, it could mean death for some people. No, I don't want a divorce. I need a break. I don't want to avoid this. I don't want to wash this whole mess. I don't want to wipe this whole slate clean. I don't have to. I've already planned for this. I had a prenup. We should be grateful. That he didn't want to finalize the divorce, that he didn't want to void the entire contract with us. But it did something that I'm sure broke his heart. When he became flesh and sent his son to die and rise for us, and that was he had to love us. Because if that's the only way to make this relationship work, I'm sorry, we would be divorced if it was up to me. I'm not giving you my child. I'm not going to even sacrifice my mom, my dad. I'm not sacrificing my cousins for you. I'm not sacrificing a friend for you. We're done. But God's ways are not my ways. My limitations are not God's limitations. My love is not as high as God's love. You know why it's so important? And we don't have to go to the scripture, but it says, let this mind be in you, the mind that was in Christ. You know, a lot of times we have these divisions, and it's typically, I've made a really bad assumption at times, just in life and in relationships. That bad assumption is that there's a such thing as common sense. And not to be funny, but just through living and experiences with different people, I realized what I thought was common sense is not common sense, because you were raised different than I was. You've seen different things than I've seen. You've lived not as long as I have, or you live longer than I have. You're coming from a perspective. Your household situation was different than my household situation. So the sense that's common to me may not be common to you, which is not a problem. God understands differences. He said, I'm not striving with man anymore. He is flesh. He is different than I am. Just because we have our differences doesn't mean those differences have to be irreconcilable. In God, and thank God, there's a such thing as reconcilable differences. But bringing it down to a personal level, assuming that there is common sense and assuming that your logic is the only logic, assuming that your way is the only way, we will never be able to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish as far as relationships. Clearly, God is about relationships. Not only is he about relationships, but he is about salvaging relationships. And the evidence is you and I are here, able to stand before a holy God. If you can't get out of your own head and you're going to continue to think that your logic is the logic and your way is the way, you're never going to be able to be what the word calls a repairer of the breach. There's always going to be separation. If I can't get out of my own head and put myself in your head, I know I'm the only one that has ever had to do any kind of counseling for a relationship. It's just me. And I'll take that. The first thing they say is the principles are very simple. Everybody gets a chance to present their side. There's no resolution if I don't want to hear your side and you don't want to hear my side. They said, well, Eric, how did your partner make you feel when this happened? Now, before there was any mediation, I didn't get it. She didn't get me, I didn't get her. No mediation. We went to mediation. Eric, how did that make you feel when she did this? And I got a chance to talk and get my side out. Then she says, how did it you feel when Eric did this? And I had to sit down and sit on my hands and listen. Even if I didn't agree, I had to listen. Then I realized that I'm always going to offend somebody unintentionally. But seeing someone else's side and getting out of my own head and knowing how my actions affected someone else, it was a wake-up call. It's like, okay, mediation does work. Where there is no mediation, there is loss. There's separation. We can't go through life just thinking that as long as I didn't intend to hurt you, I'm good. If you got upset, hey, well, that's on you. If you don't want to talk, that's on you. Or if you want to give the silent treatment, that's on you. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm clear. But that's the attitude a lot of people have. As long as I didn't intend to do it, just because you didn't intend to do it, it doesn't make it okay. Be willing to go the extra mile for others. How do we behave as those who have obtained mercy? How much more mercy should we show? If God was willing to go way out of, he was willing to do the inconvenient. He was willing to do the uncomfortable. He was willing to do things that would hurt. No, he clearly didn't like the way things were going, and he got disgusted with quite a few people in the Word. But if he's willing to do it for us, how much more willing should we be able to come to our brothers and sisters? No, I get it. Oh, I don't want to be, I'm not comfortable with confrontation. Who said anything about confrontation? I'm just trying to talk. Can you talk? Can you use your words? Like, we got to be, just in general, we got to be better to one another. We got to be willing to have a talk that might be uncomfortable. Oh, no, you can't yell this time. You can't scream this time. No, you can't stomp off this time. No, you may have to face it this time. Let's go to, and this will be the, I think this is going to be the last scripture. Let's go to Isaiah 58 and 12. Sometimes I forget, it hits the board way faster than I can find it sometimes. The 58 says, and I'm just crazy enough to believe that the entire word is for me. You know, I don't get to pick and choose what I get to do and don't do. Mm-hmm. And it says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. We all want to keep our environment safe. We want to keep things, most of sane people, we want to be happy. We don't want conflict. So let us not contribute to unhappiness and conflict and turmoil. Don't do what I did. Don't just tell the story without thinking about God. Is there a possible way for me to repair the breach? Or am I just going to gossip about it? Am I going to repair the breach, or am I just going to perpetuate the miscommunication? Am I going to just perpetuate the lies? Am I going to perpetuate the story? Am I going to keep the gossip going? Or am I going to do what I was called to do as a man who loves God and seek to repair the breach. I am done. If there is, and I'll be obedient to my mom back there, and I know we've already had an altar call, but if there is anyone here who wants to sign the contract, I'll say that. If there's anybody here who feels that they can't live any longer without mediation, is there anyone who feels that they're not as close to God as they would like to be, and they have need for someone to repair the breach? And I'll just open it up for anyone who is looking for a church home. If you're looking for a healing, if you're looking for whatever, at this time, if you didn't come up before, as you should have, you're feel free. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. It was just a joke. If there was something that wasn't covered early and you'd like to come up for prayer or whatever, you can do so now. I just had to do my part because my mom asked me to do my part.